So I'm going to go on. We have a few more names on the list. I'm going to ask everybody to try to please be brief because this is going on, and only if you have some informational-type questions to ask of Roger. I'm going to bend that myself for a moment and say Henry had started out by talking about not receiving the newsletter emails but opting in. I do not recall opting in, but if I had, I would have used my personal email address. I do get the newsletters, but at my business email address, and I find that extraordinarily odd. But anyway, so I throw that in. I mean, it seems like there are some strange things in terms of how we have gotten on this list, or not gotten on the list, and you know, how I've gotten on the list. I mean, it's very strange. So anyway, the next one is Rich.
Thank you. Thank you. Originally, I signed up for the original 2007 KPFA newsletter and got about four copies of it, and then it sort of disappeared. I think about the time Michael was gone or something. He might know what tools were used to do that originally. I think that one was done in-house, as I recall. But
that was
I did sign up, and that
newsletter
was signed up on the KPFA webpage. There was a place to sign up, and that's what I did on that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was you were talking about some of the legal issues, not only for email, but there's also legal issues. You get into a lot of things with websites. There's both state law and federal law and maybe even some international law. And I know there's things like you cannot add somebody to an email list if they're age 13 or under, and there's a lot of other rules. Does Pacifica use John Kriegler's law firm, Garvey, Schubert, and Bear? They have a thing where they will do a quote audit on the legal aspects of your email and your website and see if it's legal, because there's also all the ADA rules that we may not be complying with, that if you have a picture it has to have a text tag to it so that somebody who is blind can know what it is. And there's a lot of rules that are out there, and a lot of websites really aren't in compliance, but all it's going to take is, you know, somebody suing at some point, and it could get pretty expensive. That's my comment.
Okay, I have three more speakers on this list, and Janet just asked to speak again. Can we kind of hold it at that, because this is really taking a long time? We have a resolution yet to deal with, which I imagine going to be even more time-consuming. So, Cynthia?
Henry addressed some of my issues, so that everything you are presenting here has been talked over with the management so that we have a sense on it. And I appreciate that we're beginning to shed some light on this email policy. I mean, if we have about 20,000 members, a lot of people, I know when you answer phones, you do not, or at least in these last fund drives, you do not ask for their email list. And if you did get it for a while, you don't say they're going to do anything with it. I didn't get on Andrew's list, even though obviously we're donors here. I personally got on it, you know, just emailed him to get on his list. So I don't think we were using any. I don't know what list we were using, but I know that I, for one, am confused. And just briefly, too, why do we need those commercial servers? Is that something you can discuss a little further, why we can't just get rid of them then and use our own stuff?
I wish I could, but I think only Andrew can tell us why he's using those services.
Okay, Frank.
Yeah, our donors come from the member database. I mean, the people in that list come from...
The member database comes from just people who go on the web, then, not from anything we take as people call in.
Yeah, I don't know if we ask for their email
address, In the last drive, in the last drive I did, it was on the card I was instructed to ask. I asked for email addresses. I did not ask whether we could use them and how, but I did ask and get email addresses. I know that, and everybody around me was... So forth. Maria, you had asked to make a comment, speak, ask a question.
I thought she's after me. Am I next or no?
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. I called on Frank. Go ahead.
Sorry.
And then, Maria, you'll be after Frank.
Hey, Roger, what's up? I was just curious. You said that one message or email that was submitted to the group that checks them out or whatever didn't get sent out. I was just wondering what that message was and why it didn't make it. Was it spam or something, or...?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we agreed with the sender that it wasn't the appropriate list for that. I think we sent it to a different list. So, yeah.
I was just curious about that. And then my next...
It wasn't a... There was no conflict about it. No question about it.
All right. So my next question is, I haven't made my announcement yet, but I'm having a big show coming up during Full Circle. And could that be something that I can get sent to that email list, like a forward promotion for a show that we really want a lot of listeners and viewers, because it's going to be a webcast show? Could that potentially be something that I could put out on that list?
On the member list? That's a good question. I can't answer that question. I mean, Andrew could, but I can't.
So I guess I would just write up the message and then get it approved or send it through the channels. All right, and then also would I ask Miguel Guerrero to make a fancy ad that can go out too with that? That's how that works?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That would seem to me, though, to be a different kind of a policy issue. Because if you have 200 people saying, I've got something to promote, I'm probably never going to give to KPFA again because I don't want to get 50 emails a day from everybody promoting their programs. You know, it would seem to me that if that was approved, it would be a really foolhardy policy.
It's kind of like a special broadcast. It's not like an average everyday broadcast. That's why.
Could be. Everybody thinks they've got something special to offer. But, I mean, that's my aside. Maria.
I just wanted to comment on or respond to Henry. As a moderator, we are not editing or censoring or anything like that. We just want to kind of make sure that nothing, you know, emails around KPFA and anybody with KPFA tend to bounce around in terms of inflammatory and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's just purely to keep the peace, I guess, but not to edit or censor someone's email. Does that make sense? At least that's my take on it.
Concretely, if the management newsletters, I don't know how many they've been, 4 or 5, if they had gone through this moderation process, would you have judged any of them to be inflammatory?
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
The actual newsletters that have been sent out over the last few months, I think there have been 4 or 5 issues from Andrew. Would you have judged any of the content of any of those to be inflammatory?
No. Like I said, I would not have edited or censored. I mean, if he would blatantly say, I hate that show, I probably would comment to him personally, but not to censor it.
Okay, we have one last person asking questions. Dana.
Sasha, I think you might have forgotten to put me on. You looked at me.
If someone wants to get on the KPFA email member list, I haven't received the email, so I don't know how to get on it. I was looking on the website. How does one?
Presumably, you can call during a pledge drive and request that. You can call Chris Stellick at any time and request that. Or if you want to do it in conjunction with a donation, you can go to the website and where it asks, you know, how much you want to pledge and all that. There is a box that asks if you want to get on the newsletter mailing list.
Andrea. You're next. You'll be after Andrea.
Roger, I'm curious because there have been concerns voiced that I've heard variously about people not either knowing how or knowing what to expect in terms of an editorial policy. Are the for example, when we talk about what is inflammatory, I feel like it would be helpful. Is that policy written down? Are there edit? You know, because a lot of times you'd have. I think there's a lot. There's a lot of information coming through KPFA that people would love to get out to various lists. And I have heard people being very sort of confused about how to do that. And that in the absence of clarity, I think sometimes people...
Can I jump in here for a second?
No.
I think what we're discussing... I am because I'm chairing the meeting. But I think what we're discussing right now is privacy. The issue here is the privacy of people's email, not the editorial content of the emails themselves. So can we restrict ourselves to the privacy email, the privacy of email addresses, which is what this policy is set to deal with, the resolution before us, the report we're getting. I think editorial content is a whole separate and far more complicated issue that would also probably involve other people than are presently in the room, like station
management,
Chair,
if I may,
for example. So,
clarify for you. I think they're related issues, actually, because I think sometimes this notion of privacy, I think what I have noticed is that some people feel like that they're not clear how to get their message out through the KPFA lists, so they take other routes that have seemingly violated these privacy policies.
It's not so, seemingly.
Madam Chair, for this brief moment, could I just ask the man a question?
Go ahead. If it's relating to the privacy issue, rather than how do I get my message out, which I would like to get out to KPFA, which is a whole
Roger, what I'm suggesting is that we need to see how that moderated that policy there. See, because it seems to me that unless we want a bunch of programs to go through Facebook or go through these other to go off the server, we need to make it possible and more accessible for programmers to go through the server. Now, if I'm a programmer, do I need to send my email and say, I've got this great kick-ass programming on International Women's Day coming up. Does that go to the GM and then the GM forwards it to you, or do you instruct programmers to go directly to you?
That question has never come up, so I can't give you an answer.
It's never come
if
up?
Anyone wants to create a list, is that what you mean?
No, somebody who wants to advertise a program. Like if
to
I have
the
my,
KPFA member database, is that what you mean?
Does it go to the, who's checking content?
Nobody's asked, so I couldn't answer, but I would refer that question to Andrew if it came to me.
But in terms of policy, it sounds like you're writing policies.
Well, the policies, the bullets that are on the list that we have, yeah, it does touch on content to a degree. But
so is the content meant to be managed by the general manager or by the committee that you're on?
Good question. We've never had to do it, so we don't know. I mean, nobody's ever tried
to potentially
send inflammatory mail.
Because I do see an issue, and I've actually seen it before in KPFA, where folks feel like they have to cultivate their own kind of ancillary following, because it's not being consolidated and centralized, and it's not clear, like, you know, for a host of reasons, whether I'm advertising program, whether I'm trying to get my various other messages through. I feel like is there a committee that we can interface with to talk about that, or does that go to you, or does that go to the GM? If we're trying to construct the policy,
if you want to construct the policy, gosh, you know, I'd be glad to look it over, but ultimately, it's going to be Andrew and Carrie and Maria and Michael.
Thank you.
And
point
finally,
of information,
Jack.
Madam Chair.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that, as far as what you were just talking about, like who approves. If you wanted to get something out for your show, as far as I understand it, as a staff member, you would go to the GM.
And let's see, who are Jack, please?
Yes.
So first, I want to express real appreciation for the report. I have been increasingly concerned about the privacy policy having to do with email lists for KPFA since I joined the board. And a couple of incidents in the past 6 or 8 months have increased my concern about that policy. I think that what we have seen, or what I have seen, certainly since I came on the board, has been, for whatever reason or combination of reasons, a kind of privatization of sections of the KPFA email list. For whatever purposes that people who have engaged in this have had, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, what we have seen is privatization. And
Jack, can I, if Have you got a question? Because we have the resolution to deal with.
Okay.
It. This is another one of those comments that sounds like it belongs there, perhaps.
I can shut up in fewer words than you can tell me to shut up.
Okay.
Can I just make a closing comment then? I think, you know, the issue I'd like to address here is privacy. Without a good privacy policy, KPFA is at risk of bad publicity, and it could be seriously bad publicity. Google has already taken some of that. Facebook takes it constantly. They have a lot more buffer space than we do for bad publicity. Just to clarify perhaps what some other organizations have as a privacy policy, I'd like to read you the one short paragraph that EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, has. The EPIC Alert mailing list is used only to mail to the EPIC Alert newsletter and send notices about EPIC activities. We do not sell, rent, share, or otherwise make our mailing list available. We also intend to challenge any subpoena or other legal process seeking to limit seeking access to our mailing list. So they'll sue you if you try and get at their mailing list. We do not enhance, link to other databases, or otherwise track our mailing list or require even your actual name. So they're pretty hardcore about it. We're not nearly so hardcore. But I just like to have a policy in place that keeps the risk down.
Okay. So let us move on to our resolution. I was just passed a note. I didn't realize this. We are sort of about 20 minutes past or 15 minutes past our 15, 20 minutes past our budgeted time for this entire item, including passing or voting on a resolution. Let's put it in those terms. So I'm going to ask, who's our timekeeper? Who usually keeps time? Would you start keeping time on people when they speak? Margie, did you have a resolution to introduce?
Sure. I need to ask if there's a second to my resolution. Thank you. Okay. So you have the resolution in front of you. I will just speak very briefly. I'm concerned about a number of issues. I'm certainly concerned about all of the privacy issues that Roger raised. I'm also concerned about the fact that, as I understand it, KPFA is not receiving the information that that you normally receive when you send out an email, such as people who want to get off the list or email addresses that are dead in the water, or the recipient's responses to the newsletter. And I think that's all important information that KPFA needs to have. Let me say that I totally support the idea of this newsletter. I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful idea. I have been in serious disagreement, as you all know, with some of the content and some of the newsletters. But I think the way to deal with that is to be able to have a discussion. I like the idea of letters to the editor that Les Radke introduced. And I think it's really important. I think that we should be advertising on the radio, asking people who want to receive our newsletter to send in their email addresses. I think there ought to be a hot link on the webpage right as soon as you open it that says, give KPFA your email address so that we can send you our newsletter. I think we should expand our ability to communicate with listeners electronically in every way we can. I was very disappointed when they told us to stop asking for email addresses in the phone room. So I believe in this stuff, but I think we have a way of doing it without putting our listeners' information out there in a situation where that information can be sold to the highest bidder and where we don't pay extra for it. It just seems completely wrong to me. So that's why I drafted the resolution I did and why I support the addition to the email policy of the three items that Roger suggested. It occurred to me that when Roger asked me about this, I didn't know whether or not the LSB had at any time in the past endorsed the email policy. And I tried to find that out. I looked at old minutes. I talked to people. It seems to me that the LSB did not do that. If somebody with better historical memory than me knows that we did, that would be very interesting. But I think it makes sense for us to endorse the policy, to urge all of the people who work at KPFA, paid and unpaid, to adhere to the email policy, and to encourage And at the same time, to encourage use of electronic communication with our listeners. That's all I have to say.
Okay. I'm going to try to keep this, including hopefully voting, to 15 minutes. That would make it 1:25 when we're done. I'm going to ask, we're going to time your comments. They can go no longer than 3 minutes. I'm going to ask you to try to aim for less than that. And if you've already said something before, please don't feel you need to repeat it again. Thank you. Andrea.
It was my understanding that we had 3 minutes on a motion to speak and that we could speak twice. I thought we agreed to that in the beginning. So, Chair, I'm not sure that it's in order for you to limit time at this point.
We are, at this point, this topic should have been done with at 12:48. It is now 10 minutes after 1. So we are running very, very late. I'm asking people to try to limit themselves. I am not dictating that they must. Do you want to continue discussing what I said and what I meant, or are you satisfied?
No, not at all.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak?
I would just say that we might be a little behind because of the audio equipment, so we're probably rolling about on time besides the recording.
Okay. Janet, you had your hand up. Is there anyone else? I will start a short list here. Okay. Go ahead, Janet.
I have a substitute motion. Is that in order?
Is there a second?
I haven't read it. Let me read it. That the LSB recommend that the IGM review the existing email policy, the recommendations from this, including the recommendations from this motion, the bullet points, invite other recommendations from the LSB listeners and staff.
And is there a second? Okay, discussion. Call the question. Question has been called. All those in favor of Janet's amendment, please raise your hand. Of substitute motion.
Can you read it again?
That the LSB recommend that the IGM review the existing email policy, including the recommendations, the bulleted recommendations in this motion, and invite other recommendations from the LSB listeners and staff.
We're voting on her substitute motion. Go ahead.
Can I ask, Margie? Yes. Janet, I'm not quite clear what your motion does. Are you suggesting that the three bulleted items in my motion be included in your motion, but not the top part? Okay, thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the substitute motion, please raise your hand. We're in the voting stage. Go ahead, ask your question, Anthony.
I'd like clarification. I thought Janet's substitute motion substitutes for all of Margie's motion, and now I'm hearing that part of Margie's motion is included. I'm puzzled.
Janet, would you like to clarify that again? As I understand it, you are proposing that the IGM review and look at and consider the three bulleted points in the original motion. Is that correct?
Sorry, I guess what's being replaced is the therefore. This one says, therefore be it resolved that the existing motion, therefore be it resolved that the KPF LSB endorses the email policy and urges blah, 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 et cetera, that in place of that, that the LSB recommend, sorry that I wasn't clear, that the LSB recommend that the IGM review the existing email policy, including the recommendations listed in the original motion, and invite other, or in this motion, and invite other recommendations from the LSB listeners and staff.
We're voting on the substitute motion. That is correct. Go ahead, Jack.
Does your amendment, Janet, imply that the interim general manager or general manager be the one who is the final determinant of the privacy policy?
It would appear that way.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Are we ready to vote at this point? Good. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hands. Well, while you all make up your mind whether it's an amendment or a substitute motion, what Janet suggested, and you can fill in the blank of what you would like to call it. How's that? Craig, could you? Thank you. Could you raise your hands again, please? Okay, all those opposed, please raise your hand. Abstaining. So I'm sorry, this was...
Point of procedure.
What was... That's true. Do we have a final tally, Craig?
Well, I counted 9 yes and 9 no.
No. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, let's do this again. Okay, I'm sorry.
The chair, first of all, is allowed to vote, and second of all, definitely is allowed to vote to create or break a tie. But go ahead. Let all those in favor of the substitute, the amendment, please raise your hands.
Okay, that's 9 yes.
All those opposed, please raise your hand.
Okay, that's 10.
Raise your hands, please, since this is being questioned. Tanya, did you have your hand raised for a no?
Ten. I think I missed Dan on the earlier counts, but that's 10 no. Yeah, Dan's behind the roses.
It fails. Can we now move on to the motion, please? Would you like to restate the motion, Margie?
Madam Chair, help me understand. My understanding is that the chair of a motion doesn't vote unless there's a tie. Is that true?
Well, there would have. No.
No, but so the vote should be if it's...
The maker of the motion does not vote, or the chair?
The chair of that time, only in the case of a tie.
My understanding is that the chair can, but if it was a 9-9 and the chair voted, it became 10-9.
Yeah, I'm just checking.
Okay.
So you agree with that reading of the rules?
No, my understanding... Absolutely okay. Not. But even if it were the case... Let's move on.
Okay. Margie?
Yes.
You usually only vote in the case of a tie, right?
I would vote in the case of a tie, yes.
Right.
The rules let me, and that's what happened this time.
I understand, but I just want to make sure that that's the rule.
Robert's rules of order recommends that the chair doesn't vote. But if the chair is a member of the body who... became a member of the body in the same way that other members of the body. In other words, if the chair is elected, an elected representative on the body, then the chair does have the right to vote on any motion.
Regardless
of rules, says that it recommends that the chair not vote in order to
except to make or break a tie.
Except to make or break a tie, right?
But can vote regardless at any time, having nothing to do with the tie.
Well, I have an amendment.
Okay. We have another amendment going. Andrea.
Can I? I'll just tell you what it says. You don't want me to go back? Okay, never mind. It's right
here.
Let's not worry about it.
That's right. I'll send it out to you all.
No, send it to me. Are we going for it?
Okay.
So Andrea Pritchett has a motion that, do you want to go ahead and read it to us?
No, you have it.
Okay, all emails to be distributed to the lists should be sent to and approved by the GM and his or her delegate. And point two, guidelines for each list should be written by the GM and moderators and be available for public viewing. Are these... You're making this as one motion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it have a second? Okay. Discussion.
Can I motivate it?
Yeah.
I did not understand that this is a substitute. Therefore,
it's an amendment.
This is not an amendment. Look at the motion. You can't amend it by changing the entire motion.
Right.
So
it's a new motion, is what you're saying.
No, it's not. It totally relates. How can you say it doesn't relate? You're talking about archiving emails. You're talking about how emails will be handled. My motion simply says that it shall be done by the GM. I mean, I'm looking. You've got three operative paragraphs, so I would add two operative paragraphs.
You're adding.
Which means that's an amendment. It's called a change.
I'm sorry. You're adding these 2 points to the three that exist?
That's
or you
correct.
Are removing the three?
No. It doesn't say
all
to
right.
delete anything.
Okay.
Add those two operative paragraphs to the three that exist in the proposed motion. It's an amendment.
Do we have anybody for discussion?
Can I motivate it?
Sure.
Thank you. My amendment is simply this, that we need some accountability. Somebody's got to be accountable for what goes out or what doesn't go out. And we need transparent policies that anybody can be accountable to. And it seems to me that it's wise to have the GM involved in this process. I say... The GM and his or her delegate, meaning that if the GM is not on site or can't get to it in a timely way, that they can authorize somebody. It might be somebody, a moderator of the list. But it seems at the end of the day, if something goes out and people have issue with it, they should go to the GM, and the GM should have to account for whatever is put out on those lists. It shouldn't be left to the moderators and the people, the tech people, to have to decide on the content and the vision of KPFA, because in fact they're not accountable. If somebody doesn't like what's inside of a newsletter, are they going to go argue with Roger? That's not really fair. So I feel like step one is to get the GM to use the listservs. Step two, for that person to be accountable for what they put on there. And I would like to see what criteria is used to evaluate what is inflammatory and what are our priorities, more importantly. What is it we're trying to accomplish by having these lists?
So vote yes.
Comment, Jack?
Well, I'm opposed to this amendment because I consider it to be absolutely not germane to the motion at all. The report by Roger and the motion has to do with the question of privacy of email lists within KPFA and the non-privatization of email lists. That's what the motion has to do with. Somehow or other, this has been transformed into a question of how differing points of view shall be sent, you know, shall be accommodated within the email process at KPFA. These are two utterly different issues. And what is being put on the table here, in my view, is that the idea of the privacy of the email lists is being held hostage to the ability of individuals to be able to use the KPFA email list for their own private, personal, and political purposes. How the list is to be used as far as content is concerned, how information is to be transmitted to listeners or among staff or anything of that sort is a separate question than the question of whether or not these lists shall be held private by the station or privatized by individuals within the station for their own personal and political points of view. So I am opposed to this amendment.
And Dan?
I don't want to get too focused on whether it's properly amendment or properly another motion, but I think it's a good idea that there be policy. I think that the policy is part of the process of ensuring privacy, right? Because that's obviously part of the policy. The only difference I would have with Andrea's motion is I think the policy that we ask the GM to develop should be approved by this board. Okay, because I think it is the type of station policy where the board is properly involved. So.
Can I ask
Madrid? Are you making an amendment to the substitute or amendment to the amendment?
You know, I'm not sure, Sasha. I get a headache when I think about Robert's rules and the way in which we.
Can I just ask one a direct
argue
question?
About them?
Is there precedent on the LSB? My understanding is that the general manager is in charge of station policy. So is it a break from policy? Are you making an exception for this one because you feel like it's especially important, or is the precedent that GMs should just make the policies and we review the GM?
You know, I'm not sure where you draw the line between policies and policies. I think an email list which consists primarily of members and contributors to the station is a matter for us, and I would think an email list that was internal to the station is a matter for the GM. That just kind of makes sense to me.
Again, are you,
Sasha,
proposing an amendment?
He can amend it. He can add that.
A friendly amendment?
I would say have it be voted on separately, because I don't think it's friendly. Because I think the GM should probably just do policy. But I think the appropriate way to handle it is that his would get voted on first, then mine, then the motion as it is amended or not amended.
Would you like to formulate the language for that, Dan?
Yes, I move that.
Write it down in these quotes.
Okay. That the policy on the email list be submitted to the LSB for approval.
As developed by the GM? Okay, is there a second to this?
No. Go ahead. Just another point of information. I think there really is already a policy, so it may just be a matter of having the GM find that policy and bring it to us.
Well, we're suggesting that he add these three things.
Added with that.
Margie, when you were formulating this, did you look I mean, is there a policy, as far as you know? Or?
Yes, there's a policy. I sent it to all of you.
Yeah, that, addresses, right, that addresses content, not... basically, or who can use the list, and something that goes beyond the privacy of email addresses?
Yes, to a certain extent, but what the three items listed on my original resolution are suggestions that Roger made to strengthen the privacy.
And the three, what amounts to three new ones? Or
I'm sorry?
The three new ones that are being considered are
to be added
covered?
I'm sorry?
Are they covered, as far as you know, in existing email policy?
They don't exist. No, they need to be added to
they
the existing.
They would be added to existing.
Existing
okay, they're not already covered, in
right.
other words. Okay, so we had a second to Dan's amendment to the amendment. Any discussion? Laura?
That's true. It's a rapid process.
Does this motion cancel out Margie's motion, or is it in addition to? It's in addition to, is
this
that correct?
This is in addition to Andrea's amendment, which is in addition to Margie's. All right, are we?
We're not ready to vote.
Can I call the question?
Thank you.
Is it possible to read Andrea's amendment, because Dan's is on top of that?
Sure. So Andrea's says all emails to be distributed to the list should be sent to and approved by the GM and his/her delegate. Or by the GM. Well,
and or
his her delegate. Okay. Guidelines for each, is that okay? Is that friendly? Okay, thank you. Guidelines for each list should be written by the GM and moderators and be available for public viewing. And then Dan's addition is policy on email lists as developed by the GM should be submitted to the LSB for approval. Is that more or less the language you have? Okay. Margie?
Okay, I don't understand this. There is an existing email policy. We don't need a new one. We need people to adhere to the one that exists. That's all I have to say about this.
Wait a minute, when I asked you that question, you said, no, these things are not covered.
I feel like the amendment now changes the intent of my motion to the point that it really doesn't work, okay?
Just a point of information. I have what you sent out, right? Maybe I need to clarify my motion, because my motion doesn't conflict with yours. Because mine is about...
Your motion talks about developing an email policy. We have an email policy.
But you're saying you sent it out. If what I received is the email policy... Right. What I'm saying is that I guess we would add to this policy, and the addition would be clarity. Roger said that there were between 8 and 12 different lists that are managed there. My intention is that each of those lists' purpose should be enumerated and explained, and that people should know how to access them and what their purpose are so that they can effectively use them. Why is that a problem? That seems like as obvious as...
That's a different issue. I feel like that's a different issue.
Then my motion was going to be to divide the question and vote on each paragraph separately, so that nothing has to be mutually exclusive. Okay. I'm not trying to sink your motion. I promise you. I'm trying to flesh it out a little bit.
I don't want my motion fleshed out, because what I am proposing is an overall email policy that would affect all email lists equally. How emails are sent out, who gets to approve individual lists, all of that stuff. I don't care. That's up to management and the station and the programmers. They get to work that out. What I am suggesting, and I think our board responsibility is to establish an overall guideline that applies equally to all email communications, And the individual details, now, I mean, Henry complained about micromanaging. I think that's like, you know, the queen of micromanaging, for us to talk about how each list decides what should go out and who's going to determine it and all that kind of stuff. I just want the handling of the privacy issues to be uniform, no matter who's sending the email. That's what my, and I want my, I think, I hope that people will vote for my motion unamended.
Okay, are we?
Can I?
If I may, and if I may, please, and the only thing I want to hear from anybody is if they have some Robert's Rules of Order advice for me, because I'm a little at sea here, not being overly fond of Robert's Rules or a student of it. But as I understand it, we are ready to vote on Dan's amendment to Andrea's amendment. Is that correct? Okay.
Point of order?
Yes, Henry, or whoever.
The question has not been called. I have an item of discussion.
No, I believe the question was called by Tanya. Exactly.
But we didn't vote on it.
We have not voted on it. We are ready to vote, or we are trying to get ready to vote. We vote on whether or not we're going to call the question. All right. Thank you.
First, yes.
Okay. All those in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. I'm going to vote in case we need to break a tie. I can vote anyway. I want to call the question. Eleven, yes. All those opposed, please raise your hand. This requires a two-thirds vote to call the question. Okay. The motion fails. Okay. Henry, you want to continue this discussion?
I do, and I want to support Andrea's suggestion that we need not just these additions, but that we need a broader process to review the email policy, and I think it's something that cannot be dealt with adequately by this board, which isn't necessarily well informed about some of the technical issues. A review process such as Andrea's amendment proposes would allow some additional things to be raised. For example, most newsletters from both commercial operations and nonprofits include HTML code that allows the sender to get information about how many people opened the message, and if there are links embedded within the message, allows them to count the number of people who click on those links. I think that is a perfectly legitimate and, in fact, important thing for us to have in our email communication with our listeners, provided that it can be done in such a way that that information is returned only to KPFA and not to outside organizations. I would like that Roger's first bullet point amendment seems to me to exclude that possibility. I think that would be a wrong policy for us to adopt. I don't think this is something that we should be debating in here, but I think that before the station adopts a policy, it should have an opportunity for people who have opinions and suggestions about details like this to have a chance to make those suggestions and for those suggestions to be considered by other people, including Roger. So, you know, if we vote this down, I'm going to offer this I'm going to offer amended language to amend Roger's bullet points. But I really don't like that process because I don't think this is the proper format for dealing with things like this. I think the station's electronic communications with its listeners and supporters is an important issue. I don't think this policy, either in its current form or with the amendments, adequately addresses all the issues. And I think a broader review is entirely appropriate and important.
I'd like Margie to respond and then Jack.
I'd just like to point out that the bullet point that says no bulk KPFA email should track users, blah, 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 without their explicit opt-in. And that is exactly what happens when, for example, you sign up to be on the NARAL, National, whatever, the abortion rights, whatever that is, list. You get an email that says, may we keep track of when you open our emails and whether you click on any of the links embedded in our emails. And they ask you. And you can do it either way. You can say yes or you can say no. And that's right there. It's in it. I don't think it requires any more research. I know I don't know as much about technology as you do, Henry, but that's perfectly clear to me, and I think it would be clear to anybody else.
Margie, may I ask you, so your intent of this is that KPFA should be able to have that information, but we are trying to prevent the use of outside organizations and they're getting that information.
No. I think KPFA should have that information if the individual email recipient agrees that KPFA have that information.
Okay. Jack.
So here's what's going on.
We're not getting
a member of this board some months ago stole a section of the KPFA email list and used that stolen piece of the email list to privately communicate to boost a particular show on the air. And I'm using the word stole deliberately. That's number one. Number two, the interim general manager, I won't go so far as to say stole, but made the deliberate, conscious decision to privatize a section of the KPFA email list in order to use constant comment or contact or whatever to send out his personal newsletter instead of using the station communication and IT facilities. That is what happened. The purpose of a privacy policy is, among other things, to say you cannot steal the station's email list in whole or in part, and you cannot misappropriate the station's email list in whole and in part in order to do communication to station listeners outside of the framework of the station. Now, that's what this privacy policy issue is about. Everything else that has been said and put on the floor has the purpose and intent of preventing us from dealing with that issue. The fact that our email lists have been misappropriated consciously and deliberately by a member of this board and by the interim general manager.
Okay. Jack, if I can interrupt you a moment. I think we're sort of at time, more or less, although we haven't kept it meticulously. But I would also like to ask people to keep their comments addressed to Dan's amendment to the amendment to the motion. But Andrea is next, and then Mal.
I'm not speaking officially to the amendment. I'm asking a question. I had asked for a motion to divide the question. And so I'm curious if we're discussing all five, or I'm just procedurally, I'm just not sure, because I don't need to speak to Dan's thing. I agree with it, and I think it's going to go. I don't need to speak to that, but I have things to say about the other one, so I'm trying to be in process.
Okay, as I understand it, and this may not be proper procedure, as I said, feel free, if anybody is an expert on Robert's Rules, to help me out here. I believe we are dealing with Dan's amendment to yours to see whether that flies or not and gets added to your two paragraphs, which you will then vote on, and you want to add those to Margie's three, and then I guess we're at Margie's. Or something, or where, or we're.
Can we check? Does anybody disagree with handling them all six, just voting each one up and down? Or do we need to?
We're trying to plow through that. We tried to call the question so we could vote. That went down, so we're stuck discussing it some more. And that's where we're at.
So if we go ahead and call the question on Dan's motion, we can go ahead and vote it. Then we can go ahead and discuss the other amendments?
Correct. Then we would go on to your two. And then we would discuss those, and we would vote on those, hopefully. And then we would move on to the main motion. And I guess what Margie's saying is, at that point, it would have six paragraphs or 6 points to it. And we could pull it apart and divide it, and we could vote it to death. And we could not take a break and hopefully get out of here by four. Mal.
Call the question.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Thank you. Are we ready to go? All those in favor of calling the question, would you
on
please?
On Dan's amendment only, right?
On Dan's, yes. We're voting on calling the question on Dan's for the second time. All those in favor of calling the question and being able to move on, please raise your hand.
Yeah, let's vote on Dan's thing.
All those opposed, please raise your hands. Any abstentions? One. All two? Okay. It passes.
No. Oh, well, yeah, but now we vote on the amendment.
Now we vote on the amendment, no. Right. Now we, yes. Dan, would you care to read your amendment?
I move that the general manager's policy on email lists should be submitted to the local station board for its approval.
All right. Would somebody like to call the question?
We already called it.
We called
the
question?
We're voting.
So we can vote on this?
Right.
Praise be. Okay, all those in favor of Dan's amendment, please raise your hand.
Well, it's kind of complicated.
Well, he has to bring it back here. All those opposed.
I'm changing my mind.
No, I was in favor of. I've been clear as a bell. I'm clear as a bell.
All those opposed. I think Henry changed his vote, so subtract one from the yes.
Okay, so we had seven yes. Henry changed his vote. He was voting yes, so that means six yes. So all no votes, hands up in the air now, please. Okay, that's eight no. So that amendment fails.
Okay.
I counted nine.
Yeah, okay. Abstentions?
That did count, huh?
Two.
Two. Does that add up?
No.
All right. So we are now moving on to Andrea's two amendments. Andrea, would you care to please read them again so we know what we're voting on here?
Well, we haven't called the question on these ones. We called the question on Dan's.
We called the question on Dan's.
That's
okay.
Right. And I actually wanted to address... I just wanted to clear up something because I think my amendments have been somewhat mischaracterized. I'm not trying to contradict. I think, yes, privacy is a very important issue.
Could you read the amendment first, please, somebody?
I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Y'all got it.
Craig has it.
Okay, Craig just picked it up.
Just to be clear, this is amending, this was add these two clauses to the motion that Margie originally submitted, so now there are a total of five paragraphs at the bottom, right? And it would leave everything prior to those paragraphs untouched. Right. This is just adding to Margie's motion.
That's right.
Okay, so paragraph one to amendment, all emails to be distributed to the lists should be sent to and approved by the general manager and his or her delegate, and or, is that correct? And
yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And number two, well, I guess this would be number five now. Guidelines for each list should be written by the general manager and moderators and be available for public viewing. So these two would add to Margie's motion.
So my point is this, that it's about accountability. So it doesn't contradict the privacy issue. I don't really understand what all the kind of heat about that is, because it's not saying that privacy is not an important issue. I do think it is. And I think giving the members of KPFA as much choice about how their email is dealt with is absolutely fine. But it seems to me like in terms of the health of our outreach and the health of our accessibility, I know one of the great challenges within KPFA infrastructurally is how to access things. People are there ready to do the work, but then the people who want to get there have trouble doing that. All I'm asking is that those 12 lists, what is this one for? And that any of us should be able to go on the internet and go, ooh, I want to subscribe to that list. I want to be on that one. And that seems like it's opening the door. It's unclogging the bottleneck. It's allowing people in the community to know what list they want to be on and to have better control over how they are accessed. Yes, do I want to sign up for this program or that program, or do I want to sign up for a digest and get all these things? I don't know what the 12 lists are. That's what I'm asking for. So I think transparency is a good thing, and I think accountability is a good thing. Because I think the issue is not only what goes out, but I think there have been issues raised within the station about what isn't getting to go out. And I think at the end of the day, we need somebody who can stand here and be accountable for what does or does not go out. And we should all understand in an organizational chart kind of way how that stuff is managed. So I hope you'll support these. I hope you won't see them as in contradiction to the privacy issues.
Thank you. Any other comment? Any further discussion? Frank.
I would just like to say that I agree with that, because earlier I asked the question, how do I get to forward promote this, what I think is a big show coming up, and to get it to the people that might be interested. And I don't know how to access the email list, which I really wanted to get this out there. Besides being on Mitch's show and other national shows about it, I want to be able to email people about it. It's going to be a pretty big deal for the apprenticeship program and for the station being another video webcast. So I want thousands of people to be able to click on our link that night and see the video that we're going to put out, and as well as listen, and to access a list of 8,000 emails that are people that are listeners. That would be great to get the viewers I want on my show that night for the video link, and just for listeners in general. It'd be great if they had a special message sent to them and said, hey, this is going to be what we think is a big, important show. All you have to do is maybe click here. If we could set up a link where they can click on that link and be right there. So that would be another issue with having the list and having to know what they are. I would know that I can just go here, write my message, and get it sent to that list. I mean, right now I don't even know how to do that.
And Mel?
It seems to me that that Frank just spoke in support of the main motion. I don't know what that had to do with the amendment. It seems to me that the major problem that the main motion addresses is the lack of fidelity to the current KPFA policy about the mailing list. And that seems to me to be somewhat watered by this amendment. The amendment might on its own merits be valid if considered separately, it seems to me, but the import of the motion is that KPFA has a policy which is not being followed, and the board is trying to remind the management that they have a policy and that they ought to follow it. And I think a separate motion should be devoted to a new policy dealing with content, but I don't think it belongs in this motion.
Thank you. Does anybody want to call the question? Tanya, go. Second? Thank you.
Motion to divide.
You're dividing your two paragraphs?
It's motion to divide.
We're just voting on your amendment now.
What's that? We're voting on your amendment. You want to divide your amendment into two pieces at this point?
I don't know. What'll make you guys pass it?
Whatever we do, that would kill time.
Which is the whole point.
If it's too much, do it one at a time. All right.
All those in favor of the amendment, both paragraphs of it, both points of it. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Is that nine? All those opposed, please raise your hand. We're voting on Andrea's.
Everybody who voted no, voted no. That was eight.
Okay. Abstaining. Lewis, are you voting?
Okay. Two abstentions.
Three abstentions.
Okay. Three.
The motion passes.
Fine. Move.
All right. So now we are on to the main motion, which now includes 5 points to it. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Would everybody be in agreement with that?
I want to take them one.
Andrea, you were going to divide them into five different pieces? So that we can spend more time?
Three.
Good. This whole thing will fail and we can take it
again. No, because I don't want to. I have some of it I like and some of it I don't.
You guys, it's not trifling. It's not. I mean, if it's worthy of bringing it to the board, it's worthy of. Okay.
It's not bad.
How do you want to divide it?
Just each one.
Consider the main motion word by word.
Oh, Jack.
Dividing this word.
You know what? I'm not making a mockery of it.
Jack, stop it.
On each word, Jack, that's enough.
Madam Chair, I'm really not trying to make a joke of this. I'm actually trying to help get the good stuff, the things that I think are good, pass. I'm not
sure you are. So go ahead.
How do you want to divide it?
Just each one separately. Just a three. Each.
The three resolutions.
We're voting all five up or down. Does that have a second? Separately.
Three.
There are five now at this point.
I have a question I don't understand. Andrea, what are you dividing? The be it further resolved that, those things?
Yes, just the operative paragraphs be dealt with individually.
And your two paragraphs?
Mine have already passed.
No, they haven't.
You're right.
They're part of this.
They were
added to the motion.
You're right. So it would be all separately.
I would respectfully request that you withdraw that. I don't see any point in dividing it. Your amendment has been added to the motion.
Sure, there is. We're going to get nothing done. That's the point of it.
There's one paragraph I disagree with. So I'm asking to have it separate.
Why don't you amend to remove that paragraph instead of making us vote five times on the whole thing?
All right, I want to. All right, let me try again. Motion to divide. Just take paragraph one separately, and then the other four together. Does that work for people? Because paragraph one is the one I don't like.
She is dividing the question to vote separately on the no bulk KPFA email paragraph, and then the other four paragraphs to be handled as a body.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
I don't have the last two any longer.
It's not that bad.
Craig, could I have? What are the last two?
The last two are the.
I don't have a copy of that any longer, so.
Okay, I'll.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Let me just review the paragraphs here just to refresh everybody's memory, okay? We have the three paragraphs listed in Margie's motion. Paragraph number one is about bulk email. Paragraph number two starts no KPFA email lists. Paragraph three is all emails sent to KPFA members. Plus Andrea's amendments. Paragraph four, all emails to be distributed to the list should be sent and approved by the general manager and or his or designee. And then number five, guidelines for each list should be written by the general manager and moderators and be available for public viewing. So those are the five amendments, the five paragraphs in this motion. And the motion to divide would look at paragraph number one separately from the remaining paragraphs.
Margie?
A motion to divide is always in order, is not debatable. And any member of the body can ask that a motion be divided, and the body must do that.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. There was a second for this? You seconded.
You don't need a second.
Any discussion?
It's not debatable?
All right, then let us vote on the motion to divide.
It's not debatable. It's not a motion to divide, it's a request.
So we're now...
And anybody can ask it, and you have to do it.
Okay, so now we're on paragraph one of Margie's resolution as a separate entity to vote that up or down, or... Is there any discussion on paragraph, the first point, in Margie's resolution that begins with no bulk KPFA email should track users' reading or forwarding of list messages or links contained in those messages without their explicit opt-in. This precludes the use of web cookies, third-party images, JS, CSS, or other trackable elements which could be used to individually identify individual recipients of on their or their online activities. I guess I'm getting tired here. Any discussion, Henry?
Yes. I am not satisfied with Margie's explanation that the reference to explicit opt-in allows us to include code within the email that would allow the station and only the station to find out how many people opened the message and how many people clicked on embedded links. I think this is important for modern marketing, which, let's face it, that's what we're doing, whether we like that word or not. What we should be doing, in my opinion. Margie said that if you subscribe to the NARAL newsletter, you get an opt-in for those things. I just subscribed to the NARAL newsletter, and I did not get any opt-in about those things. I think that we need to give the station the... I think this is harmless to find out how many people open the message and how many people click on the links. I don't see that it violates anybody's privacy. I think it's... On the other hand, it is actually useful in enabling us to judge the effectiveness of our communications. So I am therefore offering... I hate to do this. I didn't want to have to do this in this meeting. But I am offering an amendment to the first sentence, at the end of the first sentence, after the phrase explicit opt-in, that we add, except that it is permissible to embed code within messages sent by KPFA that will report open rates and click-throughs on embedded links back to KPFA and only to KPFA.
Margie, do you consider this a friendly amendment?
I second that amendment.
Okay. Right. Okay. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay. Yes. Right. No.
Anyone want to continue and have a discussion about this?
Can we call the question?
Call the question. Do we have a second?
Yeah. We have a second.
All right. All those in favor of Henry's amendment.
Closing debate.
Okay. We're voting on closing debate at this point. Okay. All right. All those in favor of, closing debate.
Right. Ask if anybody objects to closing.
Does anybody object to our closing debate?
No. Thank you.
All right. We have closed debate. Now we are ready to vote on Henry's amendment to Margie's. The point one in the original resolution.
Okay, this is the amendment. We're looking at paragraph one. After the first sentence that ends with the words without their explicit opt-in, it would be amended as follows. Except that it is permissible to embed code within messages sent by KPFA that will report open rates and click-throughs on embedded links back to KPFA and only to KPFA.
Okay, fine. Ready.
All right, are we ready to vote? Yes. All those in favor, please raise your hand.
Crossing the aisle.
Opposed. I'm sorry, did you have a count? Keep your hands up. Put your hands up again.
Wait, Craig's not done counting.
No, this is history right here, people.
And opposed. Abstentions. One. Okay, it passes. Now we are ready to vote on the amended paragraph, point one. Does anyone need it?
Was that it?
We did that. That's what we did. So it's over.
We had to vote on the other four paragraphs.
Didn't we already kind of vote on that?
No. We voted to add this to her paragraph. We have not passed the point itself. So now, would anybody like to call that question?
Yes.
Second. Thank you. Are we ready to vote? Do we need it reread?
No.
All right. All those in favor, please raise your hand.
This is unanimous.
17 yes.
Opposed. Abstentions. Do we have a count, Craig? I believe that passed. Do you want to?
Okay, so paragraph one, as amended, passed 17 yes, one no, one abstention.
Thank you. Now we are ready to go on to the following 4 points, which have now been grouped together. Would anybody like to call a question?
Yes.
Thank you. Second?
Second?
Was that a second, Lewis? Thank you. All right. All those, do we need these reread?
No.
You have to ask if there are any objections.
Are there any objections? Janet.
You have an objection.
Well, then we have to vote about closing the question.
All right. So, Janet, we're going to have a discussion, I guess.
No. There's no discussion on closing the question. We're going to vote on closing the question because Janet objected. If it had been unanimous, we wouldn't have.
We're going to vote on closing the question. All right. All those in favor of calling the question, closing debate, please raise your hand. 9 yes. All those opposed, please raise your hand. Opposed. I'm sorry. How many?
It failed.
It failed.
So, yeah, 9, yeah, okay. 9 yes, 8
so
no. So
I guess
what do you want to say?
We're back into having a discussion. Yeah. Janet?
So it's about the third bullet. I'm wondering why these emails, I'm assuming the emails that are sent through this process, should be readily available for viewing by KPFA staff or anybody for that matter. I think that maybe there would be possibly some special request to view the emails, or if not just the staff and the board members, what about any members also should have access? So why is it limited to staff and board members is, I guess, my question.
Would you like to address that, Margie?
Yeah, that was Roger's suggestion, and I did ask him about it, and he just thought that in the future, members of the staff or members of the board might want to look at sort of a history of, you know, newsletters, for example. I'm perfectly happy to make it available to anyone who wants to look at it, but I do think it's important that these messages be archived. They are not
yes.
currently being archived and so that's the main intention of this. And I would be happy to change it to say, just for viewing.
Staff,
for viewing, I would close it after viewing, and then, you know, anyone who wants to can look at it.
All right, so are you?
Readily available. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds like TV.
So readily available, period, is
in
what
their,
you're...
How about readily available in their original format in entirety?
Okay, so you are amending, you are changing your...
Yeah.
Readily available,
look at us,
period,
go, go.
No, just take out for viewing by KPFA staff and board members.
That's what I said, readily available, period.
No, because I want to leave in at the end of the sentence, it says, in its original format and entirety.
Original, okay.
So what I'm suggesting is I'd like to remove for viewing
by staff.
By KPFA staff
board.
And board members.
Okay, in its, it should be available in its original format for viewing. Okay. All right, so it would read, an email sent to KPFA members should be archived and readily available for viewing in its original format and its entirety.
Fine.
Do we need to vote this? Or you have changed your own.
Sharam has something to say, I guess.
Yeah. I think this motion in its current form is problematic because it talks about all emails sent to KPFA members. In other words, if GM responds to an email from a KPFA member, it would be falling under the same category, right? It doesn't talk about mass emails or anything like that.
Oh, all right.
Sent
all
to KPFA members.
So
oh, you're saying,
be.
Like,
yeah.
if there was an individual
right.
exchange.
Right. I mean, the way in its current form, that's how it reads.
Right.
Yeah. So
all
it needs
bulk?
To be.
Okay. How about all mass emails sent to KPFA members?
That would be fine.
Bulk?
Bulk email. How about all bulk email? Is that all right? If I put in the word bulk? Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I agree about individuals.
Of course, it would be a lot more fun to read private emails.
Yeah, I want to read private emails.
So now it would read, all bulk emails sent to KPFA members should be archived and readily available in its original format and in its entirety. Okay?
Well, available for viewing. In its
yeah,
original
okay,
format
for
in its
viewing,
entirety.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Are we ready to vote? Would somebody like to call the question? Tanya.
Tanya.
Okay. Well, we vote. Okay. All right. All. So we are now voting on. I'm sort of spacing all four together.
Or all four paragraphs together.
All four paragraphs together. Okay. All those in favor, please raise your hand.
Okay, that's 16 yes.
All opposed?
Zero no.
Abstentions? One abstention?
Two abstentions.
All right, it passes. All right, we are now at 2:15. I suggest we take a 5 to 10 minute break, and then we will pick up.
Right.
She will be cheering.
Okay.
Next year.
You're on break. Be careful.